Well, this past week, it was a week of reflection upon our whole country in light of the events in Orlando. It was a week of grief for many. It was a week of reflection for our entire nation. In the aftermath of the Orlando tragedies, we're reminded of the presence of evil and sin and darkness around us. Now, evil can be defined as the absence of good, as profound immorality, wickedness, and depravity. But we don't only encounter evil in the midst of our world, but also the effects of evil, experienced through sin and brokenness and darkness that's prevalent everywhere. We were reminded this past week that at any time, in any place, our lives can be impacted and affected by the evil, sin, and brokenness that are at work in our world. We're reminded of this as we reflect both on the nightclub tragedy where 49 people were murdered, and as we reflect on the Disney tragedy where a toddler was killed by an alligator. Now, along this same theme, I want to ask you, take a look at this picture. How many of you recognize this man? Does anybody recognize him? I got one hand in the back. Who is it, Marcia?
Jim Elliot.
It's Jim Elliot. Many of you know Jim's story as told through his widow, Elizabeth. Jim was sold out to serve the Lord, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth, wherever God called, and God called him to Ecuador. And while there, he began reaching out to an isolated tribe in Ecuador. And after months of attempts to establish contact, they finally met with tribal members in January 1956. And the initial meeting went well, but it's believed that a member of that initial meeting lied to tribal leaders about the intentions of the missionaries. And because of the lies, the tribal leaders sent warriors to the next meeting to ambush the missionaries. And the five missionaries together were murdered. Now, everything here was done in love, in obedience to what God had called them to do. And very unexpectedly, sin, darkness, and evil, and brokenness raised their ugly heads. Just as in Orlando, there's no explanation for what happened in Ecuador, except for evil, sin, and brokenness. And we see the same in the 49 murders. There is no simple explanation except for brokenness and sin that is prevalent in our world. In Jim Elliott's story, there wasn't an explanation except for the evil, sin, and brokenness witnessed in the natives' fearful and brutal attack. Evil and sin are all around us. Evil, sin, and brokenness and darkness will time and time again appear and confront every one of you and me without warning. If you watch the news, they would have you be afraid. They would have you live in fear. And I thank Almighty God that that is not His message for you and for me. Throughout Hebrew scriptures, throughout the Old Testament, Almighty God proclaimed, "Do not fear." And through Jesus Christ, God the Son, He proclaimed, "Do not fear. Do not be anxious. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." And in Matthew 10, verse 28, Jesus said this, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." Paul wrote it this way in Romans 8, 31. In light of all of these things, Paul said, if God is for you, who can stand against you? If God is for us as God's people, who can stand against us? This morning, we're going to examine the evil and the brokenness that confronts Jesus in our gospel reading from Luke. And we're going to see in Jesus his threefold example for you and for me. And those three parts of his example are, number one, do not fear. Number two, respond with compassion. And number three, always be ready. So we're taking a look at Luke chapter 8, verse 26. If you want to follow along in your own Bibles, turn to Luke 8. In the Pew Bibles, it's on page 865 of the Blue Bibles. Luke 8, beginning with verse 26. In this gospel reading from Luke, we see evil, brokenness, and darkness unexpectedly appearing and confronting Jesus and the disciples. And we're actually going to begin with verse 27. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. Jesus and the disciples climbed into a boat, and they went across from Galilee into this region, and there immediately they were confronted with this man. This account was recorded in Matthew and in Mark as well, so I want to take a look at their descriptions of this event. In Mark chapter 5, we read this. For the man had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. This was a troubled individual. Matthew, in chapter 8, verse 28, Matthew adds this to the description. So fierce was the man that no one could pass that way. This was a man who was a danger to everyone within striking distance. He was surely notorious in the region as he cried out loudly day and night, as he couldn't be contained, and he would let no one pass through his land. And this is the man who confronts Jesus, naked, dirty, full of darkness, full of rage. And what do we see in Jesus? He is not afraid. We don't read here, he shouts, look out or beware. What we actually read in verse 29 is that Jesus, upon the man coming up to him, speaks to the man. For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. When the man shouted, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? That was in response to Jesus addressing the man. He speaks to him. He says, perceiving what's going on, he seeks to free him from his oppression. Jesus was not afraid. This is our first point. He gives us this example. When confronted with unexpected darkness, evil, sin, Jesus' example is, do not be afraid. Trust in God, trust also in me, Jesus said in John chapter 14. Do not fear is our first point. What was our second point? Compassion. Respond with compassion, right. Look at what Jesus does next in verse 30. Jesus then asked him, what is your name? In reading through this account quickly, I think you can miss the power behind that question. It appears that Jesus is simply asking for the demonic presence to identify itself because, as you read it, what is your name? He said, Legion, for many demons had entered him, and they begged him not to command them out into the abyss. It appears Jesus is speaking with the demonic presence, but I don't think that's what's going on here at all. Jesus speaks to the man as a man. And I'm imagining this was probably the first time in a long time anyone had treated him like a human being. I picture Jesus looking at the man, looking into his eyes and saying, what is your name? Jesus, in that compassionate moment, saying, I see you. I see value in you. I esteem you. Please tell me your name. So So first, there's no fear. And then here we see there's no judgment for whatever has led to this man's condition. He doesn't respond in judgment. He doesn't impart shame. There's no condemnation for the man's appearance, smell, or behavior. There's only true compassion. Tell me, what is your name? Now, I want to make it a point that this isn't blind compassion. This isn't naive kindness. This is compassion sourced in who God is. The Lord Almighty is a God of grace, mercy, and compassion. We see that throughout Hebrew Scriptures. This is also compassion sourced in who Jesus is and in Jesus' example to us. This is biblical gospel compassion. In the face of brokenness and darkness, though, compassion isn't easy to access because the first thing we are is afraid, and the second thing we do is judge. How easy it is in the face of evil, sin, and brokenness to only see the darkness and then to judge the perpetrator. It's much harder to look past the darkness and see the person. The broken person in need of a Savior, the same Savior that you need and that I need. The same Savior that has saved all who have put faith in His name, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's much harder to see the broken person in need of God's love and in need of new life. So Jesus models for us not to fear, do not fear, and then to respond with compassion. Now, in this story, as we read, Jesus ultimately frees this man from the darkness that controls him. But this isn't always the result of compassion. Not even for Jesus. Remember the rich young man whom Jesus said, "Sell all that you have and follow me." And the man left sad, unwilling to let go of that which was controlling him. Remember Jesus' other opponents who responded to Jesus with anger and revenge rather than acceptance and change. Remember Judas, who walked with Jesus for 3 years. For those who follow him, Jesus doesn't promise protection from trial and tribulation, as we saw in the story of Jim Elliot. He doesn't promise that all will be okay if you follow me, but he does promise to be with you always, to never leave or forsake or abandon you. He doesn't promise positive results when we obey him, but he promises never to leave us or forsake us. As followers of Jesus, you are on mission with him. This isn't a club. We are on mission with Jesus. Salvation in Jesus' name is not simply a ticket on the train to heaven, where now we're all good. As a person with faith in Jesus' name, you're called out by Jesus to go into the world, to be on mission with him. Jesus calls you out if you claim to be his follower. Jesus invites and sends you out into the world. A world full of evil, of darkness, a world that seems dangerous. And he sends you out to be his witnesses as you're on mission with him. As Jesus sends you out, he leaves you with his example. Do not fear. Trust in the God who has sent you. Do not fear. Respond with compassion. And what was our third point? Always be ready. Jesus was not surprised here when he was confronted by the man. Nor do we ever see him surprised or caught off guard by the ministry opportunities, by the brokenness, by the darkness that confronts him. Jesus modeled for the disciples to always be ready, to keep their eyes open, to look for God's activity, and to be ready to join him. And as Jesus modeled for his disciples, so he models for you and for me. So he models for everyone who's put their faith and trust in him as Messiah and Savior and Lord. We are on mission with him. We must always be ready. Now, I made this the third point, but in truth, this is kind of circular. That could have been the first point. Always be ready, as Jesus was. Do not fear when confronted, but trust in the God who's with you and in you by his Holy Spirit and who sends you. And then respond with compassion. And then always be ready, and it continues. What we think is the end of the story may not be the end, so always be ready. So recalling Jim Elliot's story, evil, sin, brokenness, and darkness ended that mission, murdering those five missionaries. So that was the end of the story, right? I'm pretty sure some of you know that story. That was not the end of the story. Because in Elizabeth Elliot's famous memoirs of her husband's story, it continued as God worked out of Jim and his fellow missionaries compassion for those men to ultimately bring salvation in Jesus' name to that remote village. And it all happened through Jim's widow, who showed ultimate compassion as she continued to work to make contact with that tribe and then to meet them and then to live with them and then to lead them to their loving Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. She responded in true godly compassion. So in the same way, we don't yet know the end of this story that we've observed through these two tragedies in Orlando. And I want to say to you, each of you has a role to play in the upcoming days. You may be wondering, what's that mean? Well, here are two ways that you have a role to play in light of the tragedies that happened in Orlando. And this could be said anywhere in the United States today, not just because we're close to Orlando. But there are two ways you have a role to play. First, in the wake of the tragedies, there has been, I know you've noticed it, and there will be conversation after conversation after conversation all around you. And in those conversations, you have the opportunity to be a light and a witness for Jesus. In the midst of those conversations, be ready, do not be afraid, and then respond with God's compassion. Bishop Neal wrote a letter to our diocese. It was emailed out this past week. It was a brilliant response to these tragedies, and I encourage you to read his response. I've got about 50 copies on the Welcome Center. Many of you may have received it, but we'll be printing more, and we're also going to post it on our website. And it talks about a specific response to these, to both of these tragedies that we can have. Be ready and alert to see where God may be at work. Do not be anxious or afraid of those conversations or of what people may say to you if you identify yourself as a follower of Jesus or if you respond in compassion at all. Do not be afraid and respond with compassion. So that's the first response that each of you can have wherever you're going to be this week. Secondly, you have a role to play each and every day. And we see this in Jesus' example as you seek to live as his man or as his woman, as his follower. As Jesus was ready and alert, as he was not afraid, and as he responded with compassion to the broken people that confronted him, you also must be ready for those who will confront you. You may have read in the aftermath of the Orlando shooting, there have been many comments by people who claim that they knew the shooter, that he was dark, he was brooding, he was not right, he was hostile, many other descriptors. He was all of these things. But I wonder how many of Jesus' people may have walked right past him in the various cities that he lived in, never seeing him, never stopping to talk or engage with him. Maybe they were afraid of him because his judgmental, angry rhetoric. Maybe they just didn't want to have anything to do with him because he looked like he wasn't right. But I wonder if his life could have been radically changed. If God's love and compassion could have rewritten this story through one person stopping and seeing him and saying, "What is your name?" All around you are lost, hurting, broken, demonized people. They can look harmless and friendly, and they can look intimidating and scary, but they all need to experience God's love and compassion for them. And they only will if Jesus' followers are willing to be his witnesses. If you're willing to not be afraid and to respond with compassion. Follow Jesus' example. Always be ready. Do not be afraid and respond with compassion. And then as you do, watch and see how the Lord will work in each and every situation for the glory of his name. May his kingdom come and his will be done. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.